The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
On July 1st, 2017, the de-tarification of motor insurance went into effect here in Malaysia. What does that mean for motorists and for insurance providers? Today on The Breakfast Grill, I'm speaking to Anthony Lee, Chairman of the General Insurance Association of Malaysia. Good morning, Anthony.
Morning.
I did a survey before this chat, and that term, de-tarification, besides being a mouthful, you know, not many people understand what it means. So break it down. What does it mean, de-tarification of motor insurance?
Okay, so prior to today, everything was a fixed rate, so set by Bank Negara. So essentially, coverage is based, or the insurance premium that we charge as an industry is based on the person, the cubic capacity of the vehicle, and there's obviously NCD that's applied. So it's not really a free open market. Bank Negara would like working together with the industry to liberalize it. So if you look at mature markets, it's an open market. You know, you don't have these fixed rates. But taking cognizance of the fact that other markets that when they liberalized fully from one day to the next, China and India, two examples, where subsequently there was a lot of chaos in the market, we've chosen to do it in a phased approach. So this is the first phase. So it's not.
This is the first or second?
Well, sorry, yeah. The first phase was product, allowed a bit of product innovation, but this is the first phase where pricing is allowed to be, you know, deviate from the actual tariff. So we're pretty excited about this because, most importantly, risk is the risk profile of the driver is a big consideration. So prior to this, I would say that the bad good drivers were subsidizing the bad driver's insurance. Mm-hmm. So now, in a more fair perspective, you should be paying more if you're a higher risk driver, and you should be paying less as a lower risk driver.
So essentially, is that what motorists should be looking out for now? So effective July 1st, you know, those who are perhaps of higher risk, yep, should be paying more, lower risk pay less. Is that the idea? That's, is that the only thing we're looking out for?
So that's the concept. Okay. But obviously, there are many risk factors when we calculate a premium, right? So okay, the risk profile of the driver is one thing, the type of car, where they live, you know, how secure is the car, you know, in terms of, are they in a danger zone in terms of theft? So many, many factors are in there. So it's a whole ecosystem. But this allows for the beginning for us to be more innovative. Plus, we can offer different packages, right? So we can, there might be a basic cover, a cover that actually provides more. So consumers need to look carefully. Don't just go after the cost, the price. Make sure service is an element and make sure that whatever you're buying covers what your needs are. So I know this is a big thing, right? Because consumers are going to go, what is that? And, you know, what should I do? So talk to the insurers, talk to the agents, do your research, do your homework. And I think if you do that and you shop around, you should be able to find the right coverage for you.
Now, interestingly, one of those parameters to assess the risk profile of motorists is gender. Is that necessary?
Well, if you look at statistics, now insurance companies can choose to have their own, how they want to segment in terms of how they do it. But definitely statistics do show that, you know, in certain segments, gender plays a role. So, you know, there are, we follow the statistics, right? So, you know, it's
forget
based on
political
fact.
Correctness, you know, just go with the stats, right?
Well,
okay, got it. So as you mentioned, this is actually the second phase of this broader liberalization agenda by the central bank, right?
Yep.
To basically free up the insurance sector. Now, we know that first phase kicked off on July 1st, 2016.
That's right.
Right, so about a year ago. And I'm reading this statement from Bank Negara here. So during that first phase, insurance and takaful operators were given the flexibility to offer new motor products and add-on covers at market-based pricing.
Yes.
Have we seen new motor products? Have we seen add-on covers at market-based pricing over the last 1 year?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, there has not been some revolution there. you know, companies have come in, you know, I think with small tweaks to what they're offering. But this, I think, phase where pricing is allowed to be more flexible, this is where consumers will really see the beginning of full liberalization, right? So I think prior, because there's a lot of work involved in getting everyone ready for this, you know, systems have to be changed. The way we operate, we have to educate our agents, our partners, et cetera. So in even how claims are processed, et cetera, because, you know, of different coverages. So it's a lot of work. So I think people have been, or insurers have certainly been focusing much more heavily on making sure we get this piece that we're ready for it.
But if we haven't seen significant traction in phase one, what's to say that we will see significant traction in phase two?
Pricing. Everyone, you know, if you're going to pay less, you're going to be happy, right? If you're going to pay more, you're going to go, oops. And so I think because that allows then people to, you know, really kind of shop around and do their homework.
Right.
So there will be much more on offer.
But let's face it, that is an assumption, right?
Yep.
What's to say that post July 1st, these insurance companies will actually set their prices at a more competitive rate?
We segment our customers. So, and different insurers might have different strategies. So, you know, one might say, okay, I want to target, you know, middle-aged families. That's my preferred segment, and therefore I'm going to cater specifically to that group of people, and here's what I'm going to offer, and this is where the value is for them. Others might say, okay, I want to go out after the youth market, right? So the pricing will come into effect where insurers are going after a strategy to build a customer base according to a certain profile that they like. Mm. And I think that naturally will lead for them to be more competitive and more aggressive in terms of, you know, building a customer base.
But from your perspective as chairman of the General Insurance Association of Malaysia, are you doing anything to further incentivize your members to make sure that there is movement in the pricing mechanism?
We all want, you know, what we all want is the full liberalization, right? Mm. So this first phase, the reason for this first phase where it's kind of a bit more restricted, which is fair, is because as you pointed out earlier, right, consumers don't even understand this, right? Mm. 10% have awareness. Now we're talking about people where they've never bothered to look at their insurance policy, motor insurance policy. Now for the first time, they should be reading it and saying, you know.
Should be.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. So because if they don't, then, you know. So the reason for the first year where we run through this to make sure that it's an orderly approach and consumers don't feel like, oh, we think we're losing out or, you know, we're worse off, et cetera. So managing this process carefully allows time for people to get used to this whole new way of, you know, buying insurance and what you cover, et cetera. And once we're comfortable that everyone's on board, no one's been left behind, then you can go for the full liberalization. So it is an important interim stage.
How do we ensure this orderly transition, as you put it? Because if, like you mentioned, India and China did not have successful experiences with their respective de-tariffication programs. In fact, China, about 3 years after they liberalized the market, they had to reimpose tariffs, right?
That's right.
So how do we make sure we avoid those same pitfalls?
Exactly. So that's why they've restricted the amount of deviation that we can go from the tariff. And you've got to do all your homework to prove with actuarial studies, et cetera, and file it with Bank Negara to make sure they're comfortable that the pricing is not going to be something where – because what happened in those markets, insurers just wanted to build, go after market share. Mm-hmm. So they're prepared to lose money for a couple of years to build that base. But this is a very destabilizing factor, because what then happens is when the price gets so low – service will suffer as a result, because the people are going to have to cut costs to make this thing work. And at the end of the day, then everyone has a bad name. Insurers have a bad name. Consumers go, you know, this is rubbish. I get lousy service. My car takes so long to get repaired. The quality of the repairs, et cetera. So, you know, we've got to make sure that at the end of the day, consumers are the ones that, you know, need to understand and need to feel the benefit of what the insurers are providing. So, you know, some people might prefer to pay more because I want a certain level of repair. I want a certain turnaround time. So like this, you will have much more available. So it's just like when you buy your car, right? You've got a choice. You can buy a basic car that goes from A to B, or you can get a full bang and whistles.
Right.
Right.
We understand that 2019, that's the intended target for full liberalization. Yeah. Is that a hard and fast deadline?
No. So it's the guide. It's a target. And it allows us time to say, you know, let's watch this space. Mm. And Bank Negara has very clearly said, look, if it really goes wrong and people behave badly and we're getting a bad result and consumers are not happy, you know, worst case, they would consider, you know, putting the tariff back in. So we're all on board. We're all on board to make sure as an industry, that's why the association plays a big role, to make sure that, you know, we get ourselves there in an orderly fashion.
So what is that worst case scenario then? What can go wrong?
You know, it's hard to predict for now, but, you know, let's say if people decide that it's just all about price and quality of the service goes down to the point where, you know, consumers are actually, their livelihoods are, you know, impacted because of, you know, all of this happening at the same time. That would be significant enough. And obviously, you know, we're coming to an election year as well, so, you know, we don't need more noise than is necessary. And at the end of the day, look, we are there to help, and we want to make sure. Again, I think one big agenda that we have is to ensure that the overall accident rate comes down, right? And so if we, you know, Malaysia isn't the best place for accident records, if that all comes down, everyone will win because the premium that everyone pays will come down. So there are a lot of different things in that ecosystem. Obviously, we've got, you know, the Kejara system coming in place, et cetera. If all of that really works well, people's mentality of, you know, if you see an amber light, are you going to put your foot on the accelerator and race through, or are you going to actually slow down, right? This is where we got to start there at that point.
And just real quick, since you mentioned it, explain the Kejara system real quick. Is the demerits?
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you know, most mature markets, I mean, if you have too many points, you will lose your license, right?
Now, we understand that this is also a Bank Negara-led initiative, right? Do you think the markets and customers are even primed or conditioned to even think along those terms? Because from my general research, Malaysian motorists, at least when it comes to their insurance coverage, they're pretty passive or even apathetic, right?
Sure.
So how do you counter that? Because again, you mentioned that the success of phase two is very much dependent on how much traction it gets with these motorists.
Sure.
How do you ensure success given that it's a relatively apathetic bunch?
Yeah. So I would say, you know, this is where the price comes in, right? So some will actually have a reduced premium. They're going to be happy. They're going to be great. I'm paying less. Some will get an increased premium. And when they get that, then they're going to say, hey, I don't want to pay more. I'm going to shop around, right? So that will change the apathy. Where it hurts in the wallet, right? That has immediate impact.
Now, also speaking about wallets, because this system appears to be skewed towards the well-to-do, those who can actually afford the bangs and whistles, or the full-on coverage, because as it stands, those who are under third-party insurance only, their rates remain the same.
Yeah.
Right? And you would think these are the guys who go after that kind of insurance coverage because they cannot afford more, right? So how do you ensure, how do you find that balance between making sure there's enough coverage for everyone, you know, versus just catering to those who, the haves?
Yeah, so I don't think, I mean, it's a dangerous statement to say the haves and the haves not, because I think at the end of the day, the premium that you pay is relative to your risk profile, which is how you drive the car, right? I think third party obviously is something where people really, it's an afford where it's the first point of entry where you're having a car you want to go in, but you're taking a risk because you're not covering your own car and how you drive. But if you're confident that you're a good driver and you drive safely, like I said, your premium should come down, right? So that may come where if you're a good profile risk, you may pay, you know, maybe almost the same as the third party rate for a comprehensive, right? So yeah, that, if we, like I said, if we can bring the accident rate down, everyone's a winner.
All right, in just a bit, we'll be speaking about how this de-tarification of motor insurance could impact the profitability of your members. I'm speaking to Anthony Lee, Chairman of the General Insurance Association of Malaysia.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Thanks for staying with us. I'm Tan Cheng Han, and with me in the studio is Anthony Lee, Chairman of the General Insurance Association of Malaysia. July 1st marks the start of the de-tarification of motor insurance. How would your members, you know, these insurance providers here in Malaysia, how would they find a balance between, say, offering more competitive rates and also ensuring, you know, there's adequate coverage for their clients or their customers versus their profitability?
Sure. So, you know, we have a risk-based capital framework set by Bank Negara anyway, right? So if we take, you know, we need to make sure we have the adequate funds to deal with, you know, where situations where, you know, there are losses that might be more significant than the profits. But at the end of the day, with all of this, with risk-based pricing, et cetera, that we're going to put in place, I think insurers are more careful at deciding, you know, which segments they want to go after, how they want to go after it, and how they want to create different packages of coverage for different. So this thing varies tremendously. And I think because we're phasing this, it's going to be difficult for insurers to be overly aggressive to try and, you know, let's say be disruptive and say, I want to buy a whole market share. I think that's going to be much more difficult to do.
And this relates to that minimum solvency ratio?
That's right.
So it's at 130% right now, but I understand that for individual companies, it could be higher.
Yep.
What kind of range are we talking about here?
You see, it's not just motor insurance. So it depends on the risk profile of the company.
Because there's fire insurance as well,
right? That's
right.
Yeah. And if you do a lot of commercial insurance, some of that is long-tail risk. So you need bigger reserve factors. And there's also reinsurance is another factor. You know, insurance is quite complex. But at the end of the day, how we spread the risk around and the type of risk that we write determines more where companies are comfortable with whatever the ratios that they set. Right?
But just to be clear, no, so with this minimum solvency ratio, this implies that there's going to be a cap as to how competitive these insurance companies can offer these rates, right? Because they can only go up to a certain level, right?
Absolutely. I mean, if they go beyond, they will have to put in more capital.
Right. So what would be the benchmark figure that they can, you know, judge?
I think everyone is above that figure, to be honest with you. And then they're already actually set triggers where if you get to within a percentage of that 130, it triggers action that you have to take, an alerting Bank Negara, et cetera, and you know, bringing capital up. So all of that, I think companies want to avoid all that stuff because that's very onerous.
Right.
So therefore, I think we all have tolerances that are above that.
Just zooming out to the local industry as a whole, we understand that there is a push to help foster local players in gaining more market share, you know, versus, say, the big guys from overseas, right?
Sure.
What kind of developments are you seeing on that front?
You know, I think if you look at, I mean, overall in the area, there's always room for more consolidation in the industry, right? I mean, I think there are a couple of big, significant local players. A mix is always healthy. I think, you know, I don't think, you know, foreign. There's always a perception that foreign players are just here for the good times and not for the bad times. But I think plenty of insurance companies that have been here for a very long time that have actually helped build the industry, right? So if you look at a lot of the talent and quite a few of the CEOs of foreign or senior people in the foreign and then the local companies were trained by the foreign companies before. So, I mean, I would say it's important to have an ecosystem there. And insurance is something that is beyond a country boundary. I'll give you an example. You know, earthquakes, for example, I was just down in Christchurch and, you know, billions were paid out in claims. And I don't think any local few local players could never have insured that kind of risk to that level. So it needs to be a global pool that funds that.
Yeah, and certainly when it comes to the insurance space, it is very capital intensive.
Yep.
And do you see enough breadth in terms of the capital adequacy for local players to actually, you know, gain that larger market share? Are they ready to step up, in other words?
You know, I think it depends on, again, the types of insurance that they're doing, right? So if you're just doing consumer insurance, motor insurance, it's a little bit simpler. So I think they have significant market share in those areas already. If you go into specialized risk, cyber risk, you know, D&O risk, director's offices, these things are more sophisticated. And, you know, the learnings from other countries where legislation and they've had more time and more experience with losses and how to deal and cater for it, that eventually comes down to here. But, you know, Malaysia's not yet reached, you know, the target of fully developed nation status yet.
You mentioned some really key risks there, cyber terrorism, for example, or even terrorism as a whole, right? So are you seeing local entities making sure that they have adequate coverage against these relatively newer risks?
Yeah, no, we are, you know, I mean, we are always pushing that. By no means are we there. You know, I think some of the big corporates have taken out coverage, but no, there's a lot of room to grow.
So what's missing there?
Awareness and understanding that, look, it's worth taking this type of insurance. I mean, we've seen all the latest hacks recently, right? This is
what's the other one? PETA.
That's right. So these are very real and businesses suffer quite significantly when they get hit.
But you, as the chairman of the General Insurance Association of Malaysia, what are you doing on that front? Besides coming and speaking to BFM.
Sure. No, look, we do a lot of things in terms of, you know, seminars, et cetera, and we work directly with the corporates, whether it's through brokers, you know, make sure that their risk managers understand the profiles. That all has to come in place. Now, legislation could help, you know, so if we're able to push where they mandate certain types of insurance are compulsory, that is something worth considering, because if it benefits the industry as a whole, our Malaysian economy, then I think, you know, there's a positive sign there. So we can certainly work to push that agenda.
Now, your industry is apparently ripe for disruption as well. There's plenty of talk of insurance tech.
Sure.
Is that keeping you up at night?
I welcome that sort of stuff, right? Because, you know, innovation's more around how people want to buy things. And the more awareness there is because of people stepping into the game and changing the way people choose to do their coverage, awareness is too low here, so that's all good. And we as insurers are happy to work with InsurTech.
Now, you may be welcoming that as the chairman of IAM, but as a CEO of AIG Malaysia, you still welcome that?
Yeah, absolutely, because don't forget, they start
small. But it's going to disrupt your bread and butter.
Well, they start small. They create interesting ideas. If they have traction, once they get to a certain size, they are going to get regulated the way we do, right?
Presumably.
No, they will. They will. Because there will be a significant risk to the economy if they're not, you know, operating in a certain way. So capital adequacy, all this stuff will come into play, right? So small companies usually always take more risks, right? And they're able to, and that's why they're able to move fast and be more innovative. But once you reach a certain size, you know, you're material now. And therefore, you know, it needs to make sure that you are steady state and you don't go down.
Now, there are also serious questions being posed about the level of professionalism among insurance agents, especially here in Malaysia. So again, in your capacity of chairman of PIAM, you know, what are you doing to make sure there is that heightened level of professionalism among those who are out there selling insurance products?
Absolutely. So we're putting a program where there should be certification for them and it will be continuous. And I think something like D-Tariff will also change the game because they will need to understand exactly what they're selling and be able to articulate clearly to the customers, you know, what to buy and et cetera. And those that don't, you know, I think they will lose lose significant numbers of customers.
Do you have a deadline as to when that program will be rolled out?
It's been already worked on for over a year, so hopefully within the next 12 months it should be rolled out.
Okay.
But certainly, like I said, going back, the D-tariff is that game changer. So those that don't up their game and up their knowledge naturally are going to lose out.
All right. We also got to talk about this recent spat between Bank Negara and also MyCC, the Malaysian Competition Commission. Essentially, with you guys, insurance providers being caught in the middle here, MyCC is saying that with you guys following a Bank Negara mandate, that you are being uncompetitive, right? What do you say to that? What's the development on that front?
Yeah, so unfortunately, I have to be, you know, limited what I can say because this thing is still in discussion and obviously there are lawyers involved. But overall, we still maintain that what we did was for the benefit of consumers, and we feel we have the evidence that shows that, and therefore we're working closely to make sure that we can get this resolved as soon as possible because, you know, it's not good for anyone.
It involves a fine of over 200 million ringgit, though.
Sure.
Excessive?
You know, excessive is, it's a big number. But like I said, at the end of the day, we are still very confident that what we did for an industry, for the consumers, et cetera, benefited everyone. And we certainly feel we have the evidence that shows that.
Are you able to remain competitive on your own?
Absolutely.
Have you been doing that?
See, when you've got a tariff product, obviously you've got limited ability, right? So that's why this liberalization thing is key. So now it will change the game. Over. So we, you know, hopefully by 2019, this thing is fully open. I think everyone will see, you know, much more intense competition.
All right. So we'll hopefully keep tabs with you between now and 2019.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us here on The Breakfast Grill. That was Anthony Lee, chairman of the General Insurance Association of Malaysia. I'm Tan Chung Han, and this is BFM 89.9.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile, where data hearts you.